Well, I guess the 600-pound elephant in the room is this is my last day, and this is my last service, as it were, to be able to address the Cornerstone Baptist Church family. And I wanted to do something a little bit different. I didn't want to just come in and just act like everything was normal. I wanted to say some things that might be reflective, that might hopefully would be encouraging, that will be not only encouraging for what we've gone through together the last 3 months, but also would be encouraging for the future. So it's hard to believe that the time has gone so quickly. I know, how many times have we said the older we get, the faster time flies? And except for John, when I'm around John, time goes really, really slow. I don't know why that is, but anyway, that's the effect he has on me, I guess. But seriously, 1 Thessalonians, I want to sort of bookend my remarks this morning with a couple of passages. The first one is 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And as I look back on the last 3 months, 13 weeks or so, I have to say that I give thanks to God in everything because this has been the will of God for me, as well as the Cornerstone family. But I want to give specific thanks and praise this morning, and sort of break it down in a way that I hope, again, that will be encouraging. First of all, I want to give thanks to God for his providential orchestration for this whole thing. Now, that's not just a line, it's not just a catchphrase, but it's very meaningful because in God's providence, in God's sovereign plan for Cornerstone Baptist Church, this was all prepared before Cornerstone Baptist Church was even a church. And let me explain, and I hope this will be an encouragement in this way to see, to help us to see, to help you to see, to help us all be reminded to see God's providential work in our lives. When I was a teenager in high school, now you know we're going way back on that one. When I was a teenager in high school, I wanted to go into full-time Christian work. I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't know where that was going to take me. But there were a couple of influences in my life as a teenager in our little country church in Carthage, North Carolina, population 1,100, salute, Summerhill Baptist Church. There were my best friend growing up was a couple of years older than I. And when he graduated from high school, he ended up going to Tennessee Temple. At the time, it was college, later became Tennessee Temple University. And now I think it's no longer in existence, but at the time was a fairly popular Christian college. But there was another lady in the church, young, but another lady in the church that my dad and mom respected, especially her parents. But she had spent 1 year at Bob Jones University. And another guy in the church, he would drive down there. They were sort of in a dating relationship and so forth. And so he would go down there. But anyway, I think he talked her out of finishing, and she came home and they got married. But God used her to help me direct my paths to end up going to Bob Jones University. And her name was Paula Hall. She was our organist. She actually taught me a few organ lessons at the time. And so we had a good relationship with her family. And I had a little brief conversation with her after church one night. And I followed her out the door and I asked her a couple of questions. I said, you know, is BJ really all it's cracked up to be? Blah, you know, just a few of those questions. I was a young guy trying to figure out what I was going to do. So she answered the questions well, and So, long story short, that's where I ended up going to school. In 1972 is when I graduated from high school, and that was the fall of that year was my first year in college. And I'll say a little bit more about my wife. This is Chris, y'all. I'll say a little bit more about her in a minute, but that freshman year is when her and I met. But I met somebody else that year as well, a good friend who has become a good friend. His name's Mac Lynch. Some of you may know him. And Mac and I, we became friends, and him and another fellow on campus organized a singing group called the Kingsmen. There were about 16 of us. I was the weak link in the chain, by the way. I mean, I could put the volume out, but they had to work with me on hitting my notes. That's all I've got to say. I covered up bad notes with loudness, which I'm not sure is a good combination, but anyway. So he asked me to join this group, which I did and was glad to. We just had a blast for a couple of years traveling on the weekend, singing, ministering, preaching, and so forth at various churches, you know, in a relatively small area there. But anyway, that was my introduction to Mac and, of course, eventually his wife, Beth. Fast forward from 72 to 87, we're talking 15 years later now. I was the assistant pastor at a church in Virginia Beach. And there was a church in Brevard, North Carolina, that had recently lost their pastor and they were looking for one. So they had contacted me. And at that time, Mac and Beth were working at the Wilds Christian Camp. So there was that kind of relationship, and there were several other folks at the camp there that Chris and I were in school with. So they invited me to be their pastor. Mac and Beth were in that church, and during that time they had a little boy, and his name was Caleb. And Caleb grew up in that church. And again, fast forward to 2021, just this past fall, and Caleb had contacted, or vice versa, I'm not sure where the contact started, but the pulpit committee of Cornerstone Baptist Church had been recommended this guy that is down there in western North Carolina. You know, they were looking for, as you well know, this is no big secret, that the pulpit committee was looking for some help, so the pulpit committee could give themselves to their responsibility and wouldn't have to figure out, okay, who we're going to get to preach next Sunday and how we're going to make arrangements and where we're going to put him up and, you know, who's he going to stay with this week or how are we going to feed him, when's he coming in. You know, just all of those kind of details that that had to be done by somebody or somebodies every time. So anyway, you get the picture. Long story short, they contacted me and so here I am. It's interesting, typically, and all of, I'm saying all this not to just tell you some little stories, but to help you see that God's providence is just a magnificent thing. It as it happens, I'm usually in India and Myanmar in January and February. But because of the global plague, I wasn't able to travel. So I had January through April free, by chance. So God was setting all the events in motion, for which I'm very grateful. So God gets praise for this. This is not something I manufactured. This is not something Josh, as the chairman of the deacons, or Jeff, as the chairman of the pulpit committee. You know, we're not smart enough to make this stuff happen. This is God, and we're grateful for that. And so, in everything, give thanks. I want to give God thanks for that this morning. Secondly, I want to express thanks to my wife. for 47 years. She's been a faithful helper, suitable for me. Now, you may think that our marriage every day of our life has been the perfect marriage. I mean, you would probably pick that up from me. I mean, who wouldn't have a perfect marriage, right, living with me? Yeah, well, you got that wrong. But God has been faithful. God has given us 3 children. God has given us 7 grandchildren. And so rewind all the way back to 1972. At supper time, I saw this gal 2 tables away that had long dark hair. No offense, babe. Long dark hair. I had hair then, so hey, it works both ways, right? Long dark hair, and I thought, you know, I think I'm going to ask her out. Well, you know, they had this crazy note system down there. You write a note, send it, you know, to the dorms, and, you know, I got on board with that a little bit, but I sort of cut through all the red tape and just met her at the door when we were walking out of the dining car, and I said, hey, would you like to go to prayer band with me? So she agreed. From that point on, she chased me around campus for 1.5 years before we got engaged. I just want to let you know that. Now, that's mine and John's story. Now, if you talk to Chris and Judy, you'll get a different angle on things. But we met in 1972, and we were married in 1974. When this opportunity came, we both looked at ourselves, at each other, sort of sideways, and because this is the first time we've ever done this, you know, served as an interim pastor for, you know, extended period of time. So we thought, well, you know, let's think about it, let's pray, let's ask for wisdom, and let's discuss the pros and the cons. And of course, you know, one of the issues with her from the beginning was, well, it's going to be in wintertime. You know, if the power goes out here, well, what am I going to do if you're not here? And how am I going to, you know, so, I mean, we tried to think through all of those kinds of things. And so we concluded at the end of the day, as you well know, that we thought maybe it'd be a good opportunity to help a church and to be a part of this transition and so forth. So, and we weren't really familiar with the church, but we had been here before. We were up here for Caleb's ordination 3 or 4 years ago, and then we came back a couple of years ago, for some of you that may remember that, to present our work for potential partnership and support. So we thought, we prayed, and we decided, okay, we'll, hey, if they're willing to take a chance on us, we're willing to take a chance on them. But I want to say this, and those of you husbands, you understand exactly what I'm saying, but there's no way I could do what I do without her. Now, people ask me from time to time, has she ever traveled with you? Does she go? Well, the answer to that is yes and no. She's traveled with me quite a bit stateside, but she's never been with me internationally. And I don't want to get off on a whole nother story, but one of the reasons for that is when we first started this ministry, we needed support, so she immediately went to work when we moved over to Greensboro and worked for 10 years at the Winston-Salem Rescue Mission, so was unable to travel. And then when we moved back to the Brevard area, her mother came to live with us, and so that became essentially her ministry and time right there. So it's sort of a funny story. I left for the Philippines, which was not unusual. This was back in, 2018 or 17 or 18 or something like that. I left for the Philippines, gone for 2 or 3 weeks, and I come back, and her mom is sitting in my recliner, and she never got out for 3 years. She took my recliner over. Now, she didn't sleep there. I'm being facetious, but that was her, essentially her ministry and what required her time. Not that I fell second place, but It's what required her time. What was the immediate need at the time. And not only that, but we have three of our granddaughters that live in the area, which many of you know about. And so she was a mom, she was a daughter, she was a nana, she was a taxi driver for our three granddaughters. So it just made it very difficult for her not only not to be able to travel internationally, but it made it virtually impossible for her to come up here for this time. But I can say with Proverbs chapter 31 that the heart of her husband doth safely trust her. Whether I'm home or whether I'm gone, I don't have to worry one second. Is she going to run off with another man? Is she going to spend the family fortune? You know, am I going to come back with, you know, she went out and because she, you know, took an urge, she came home with a new car, or I don't have to worry. Now, she may be concerned if I come home with a new car, but she won't have to be, I don't have to be concerned about that. So I thank the Lord for my wife. We just celebrated 47 years this past December, and I'm just very grateful that, but I wanted you to see sort of how she fits into the whole puzzle, so to speak, because there's no way and in all due respect, I'm not trying to be facetious. I'm not trying to, honestly, that's not my point at all. But, you know, there are some women that can't do what she does. Some women wouldn't want to stay for 2 days by themselves, let alone 2 or 3 weeks. You know, they're crying, they're whimpering, they're going home to whatever. And again, God put everybody together differently. That's just the way it is. That's why I can say that she is my help that's suitable to me. And through the 47 years of our marriage and our ministry together, that's what she's been. That's what she's been. So I thank the Lord this morning for her. I'm glad she could be here this last Sunday. Thirdly, I want to thank the Lord for the deacons of Cornerstone Baptist Church. Last fall, they contacted me. I've already alluded to that. And we went through a couple of interviews, virtual interviews. And as I mentioned, we had a little bit of exposure to the church, me to them, them to me, and just a sort of a very, very brief time. But they didn't really know me. And frankly, I didn't know them. I mean, it amazed me when we interviewed some, and Jeff Wright was on there, and he was always laughing about something. Who is this joker? Just kidding. Jeff and I have grown to truly love each other. But at the end of the day, the interviews were over, and, the deed was done, and so they said, if you want to come up here. You know, it was interesting that there was a little caveat in the contract. I'll have to say this. A little caveat in the contract. If at any time we think it necessary to end this contract, we reserve the right to do that. Okay. So I sent it back to Josh and I said, well, let's put a little addendum on there and say, if at any time Cornerstone deems it necessary, and if the interim pastor deems it necessary. So we covered our hides either way. Well, obviously it didn't take long to realize that was going to be unnecessary. And then I want to also give thanks to the Lord for our sending church, our home church in Somerset, Pennsylvania. They've been very supportive. The pastors of the church have been very encouraging. Contacted me here and there. You know, we're praying, how's it going, so forth. And in 2 weeks from today, my wife and I will be there, and we will give an update report to our church in Somerset. So that's where our accountability is, and we want to make sure that we're not taking advantage of their love and care and concern for us. So we'll be giving a report to them. And last but not least, I want to thank Cornerstone Baptist Church. from day one, and I mean that literally, from day one, I pulled in the parking lot at Jeff and Rosemary Cheese Bros' house, and Paul and Tanya and their family was waiting on me with a wonderful chili supper. That was my introduction. The very next day, I don't remember if I got here Friday or Saturday, I think it was Friday. Saturday, I went around, you know, bought a few groceries, which I'm not really used to. You guys maybe can relate to that. If it weren't for string cheese, pickles, and, you know, sliced turkey, you know, I'd have probably shriveled up to nothing. But those are good products. Those are good products. Swiss cheese, too, man. I love Swiss cheese. But from day one, and meaning that very first Sunday I was here, and I've told this to some people here, and I mean it sincerely. I don't know that overwhelmed is the right term, but I was pleasantly surprised at the reception, the gratitude, the eagerness to learn, the excitement of the congregation to listen and hear and respond to biblical truth. It was just the open hearts to truth, the expression of appreciation, the warm welcome, all of that was just, it put me at ease. You know, it gave me the focus that, okay, there's work to be done, but man alive, there are people that are so eager for that work to be done. So that set a tone for the last 3 months that was just, it made my job, for lack of better terms, it made my job, my responsibility here, so much easier, so much simpler, because there was such a warm reception. And then there's so many individuals, and I'm not going to name names, that would just get off the rails real quick, but I did want to mention some things that happened over the last 3 months, just sort of in a summary way. For example, all of the notes that you've gotten that's been handed out, all of that's been formatted, created, printed, stapled, blah, 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 by three or four different people here, willingly and sacrificial of their time. The food, the meals, having me in your home for meals, thinking of me in your preparation. By the way, we brought this tonight. We had meatloaf for supper. Here's some leftovers. We had roast beef. Here's some leftovers. It was just very, very full. Those of you that ask about Chris, you know, when's your wife coming? How's she doing? So on and so forth. I appreciate that. And those of you that also once you heard that Caleb was had some heart issues, that you included him in your question. So very thankful for that. The men's Bible study, our fellowship time on Tuesday night, has been a rich source of blessing in so many ways. The least of which is not the wonderful meals we've enjoyed every Tuesday night. That the ladies, the wives of the guys in the group have fixed. I mean, they've just been phenomenal and so willing, so willing. I was thinking coming into church this morning, this is neither here nor there, but I was thinking, you know, the marriage supper of the Lamb, if we could combine Southern cooking with Maine cooking, I think that would be the absolute perfect combination, because you get a lot of variety, and it's all been so, so warm. The hospitality has been so great and so many of those ways. And, of course, the home to stay in that Jeff and Rosemary allowed me to stay there in their home. And then there's some that did quiet things. Would do a little something here, a little something there that was recognized significantly by me. Maybe nobody else knew about it. It was very unassuming, and I'm very grateful for those things. One of the characteristics of biblical love that we looked at on a Wednesday night as we went through a few of those characteristics, not all, but one of them was that love is kind. And the idea there is that love does the useful thing. And it was just interesting to me that maybe through a conversation, or maybe through a group text or something, that somebody would pick up, okay, I'm going to do that for him, and did it without expecting any accolades or any response. And those small little things have been a huge blessing. Those who have given financially, thank you. I appreciate that very much. For the opportunity that the deacons gave me a couple of weeks ago to present our ministry for potential partnership. One of the things that you might not think somebody would be thankful for, but I'm grateful for all of the questions that I've gotten over the last 3 months. Now, if I were to give out trophies for the one that asked the most questions or asked the most consistent questions, it would be a tie between Craig and Gary. They would walk away with the trophies for most asked questions. And if I gave a runners-up trophy for the most follow-up questions to their original question, the trophy would go to the same guys. But it was wonderful, and I mean that sincerely. I'm making it a little funny about it, but because that stretched me, that challenged me, and that's true when I travel internationally. You know, when you're in a completely different culture, which I consider Maine a completely different culture. It's north of the Mason-Dixon line, but anyway, when you travel and go to different cultures, You can talk about the same topic, marriage and family and communication or parenting or what, and I'll be, if they don't ask questions you've never heard before, same topic, different culture, but because the nuances of their culture is different, but my point is that's a challenge to me. I've got, okay, I've never thought about that before. So it's a stretching time, and some of those questions that were asked, not just by these two guys, but many of you ask lots of questions, and that was an encouragement to me. Many times, probably more times than not, as I look back on it, our Tuesday night fellowship evolved, I don't want to say devolved, but sort of evolved into what is the issue today? What is on your heart today? What are you struggling with today? What do you have questions from last week's sermon today? And we would spend an hour or an hour and a half oftentimes just discussing, because, and I'm running some rabbit trails here, but at least I acknowledge what I'm doing. That's where people live, right? I mean, the questions are where they live. And so we wanted to make Tuesday nights that kind of thing. So I'm very thankful for all of those opportunities. So, Cornerstone Baptist Church family, I am very grateful. I've got a final thought, but I wanted to share this passage because I'd mentioned I wanted to sort of put bookends on my little testimony of gratitude. One is, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I hope to some degree you've seen, particularly as I gave a little bit of backstory there, how God's providence even brought us to this point so that the two of us, Cornerstone family and Chris and I, are together for these 3 months. But I wanted to, the other bookend at the other end is Philippians 1:3 that says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So I'm thankful because I see everything that God has done has been in his providential plan. So in everything, give thanks. But specifically, I want you to know that I do thank God for you. These 3 months have been enjoyable. They've been rich and full. They've been challenging. They've been rewarding. They've been helpful. I'm grateful that I've been able to be a little piece of the puzzle here in this transition time. We've obviously made relationships, built friendships, and so I do thank God for you upon every remembrance. The final thought that I wanted to leave you, I hope that this will just sort of drive the stake in the ground with some encouragement. In Matthew chapter 16, familiar passage, I'm sure. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Christ is speaking. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So in those few verses, it's obvious whose church this is. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's Christ. He's the chief shepherd. This is an issue of ownership. And he made a promise in Matthew 16. He said, I will build my church. And then he promised protection. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. So Cornerstone Baptist Church, that sits here on this little hill, in a building that used to be a gym. I don't know what it was before that. And we know this is not the church. We understand that. This is the church. And Jesus said, I'm going to build it, and I'm going to protect it. And it's encouraging for me to know, and I hope it is for you, to know that God is doing that very thing right here in Scarborough, Maine. He's building his church, and he's promised to protect this church. And by his grace, he'll continue to do that. And for his glory, and out of gratitude in my heart, it's been a joy, truly a joy, to be part, though insignificant, though sort of a transitory, though in transition, it's been a joy to be a part of what God is doing here at Cornerstone Baptist Church. So I love you. I'm grateful for the time we've had together, and look forward to some good snacks tonight after the evening service. Let's pray. Lord, our hearts are full, not because that we're great people, but because we serve and worship a great God. Our hearts are grateful, not because we have moved all of the chess pieces around on the board, because we have manipulated circumstances to make things work out the way we want them to, but because you are a providential, loving God who manages the affairs of your people. So we can honestly say that we're grateful because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. And Lord, from my heart, I can honestly say of this church, of this body, that I thank you whenever I remember them. So may we leave with gratitude in our heart today. May we anticipate with eagerness the next steps of how you're going to grow and build this church, because we know you've promised that you will, and we rest in that promise. And we conclude today by expressing our gratitude, our humility, our worship to you who alone is worthy. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.